Chapter 59. I once said to you that you were reading this for the wrong reason. What I should have said was that I was writing this for the wrong reason. I have filled these seamless days and nights and smooth pages of microvellum with memories of Aenea, as a child, with not one word of her life as the Messiah, whom you must know and perhaps whom you mistakenly worship. But I have not written these pages for you, I discover, nor have I written them for myself. I have brought Aenea the child alive in my writing, because I want Aenea the woman to be alive. Despite logic, despite fact, despite all loss of hope. Each morning, each self-programmed brightening of the lights, I should say, I awaken in this 3x6 meter Schrodinger cat box and find myself amazed to be alive. There has been no scent of bitter almonds in the night. Each morning I fight despair and terror by writing these memories on my text slate, stacking the microvellum pages as they accumulate. But the recycler in this little world is limited. It can produce only a dozen or so pages at a time. So as I finish each dozen or so pages of memory, I feed the oldest pages into the recycler to have them come out fresh and empty so as to have new pages upon which to write. It is the snake swallowing its own tail. It is insanity, or the absolute essence of sanity. It is possible that the chip in the text slate has the full memory of what I have written here, what I shall write in the coming days if fate grants me those days. But the truth is, I do not really care. Only the dozen pages of microvellum are of interest to me each day. Pristine, empty pages in the morning. Crowded, ink-splashed pages filled with my small and spidery script each evening. Aenea comes alive for me then. But last night, when the lights in my Schrodinger cat box were off and nothing separated me from the universe but the static dynamic shell of frozen energy around me with its little vial of cyanide, its ticking timer, and its foolproof radiation detector. Last night, I heard Aenea calling my name. I sat up in the absolute blackness, too startled and hopeful even to command the lights on, certain that I was still dreaming, when I felt her fingers touch my cheek. They were her fingers. I knew them when she was a child. I kissed them when she was a woman. I touched them with my lips when they took her away for the final time. Her fingers touched my cheek. Her breath was warm and sweet against my face. Her lips were warm against the corner of my mouth. "We're leaving here all, my darling," she whispered in the darkness last night. "Not soon, but as soon as you finish our tale, as soon as you remember it all and understand it all." I reached for her then, but her warmth was receding. When the lights came on, my egg-shaped world was empty. I admit that I paced back and forth until the normal waking time arrived. My greatest fear these days or months has not been death. Aenea had taught me how to put death in perspective, but insanity. Madness would rob me of clarity, of memory, of Aenea. Then I saw something that stopped me. The text slate was activated. The stylus was lying not in its usual place, but tucked behind the slate cover. Much as Aenea had kept her pen folded away in her journal during our voyages after leaving Earth. My fingers shaking. I recycled yesterday's writings and activated the printer port. Only one page emerged, crowded with handwritten lines. It was Aenea's writing. I know it well. This is a turning point for me. Either I am truly insane and none of this matters, or I am saved, and everything matters very much. I read this as you do, with hope for my sanity and hope for salvation. Not of my soul, but salvation of self in the renewed certainty of reunion. Real reunion. Physical reunion. With the one whom I remember and love above all others. And this is the best reason to read.